Sir, my listeners, till now you have heard the live Telugu segment, Sri Satya Sai Divya Sandesh Jari, presented by Brother Sai Prasad. And it's now time for us to go to the next segment, the Radio Sai Vedam Tutor. And this is Team Radio Sai's Ganesh, inviting you all to yet another new episode of Radio Sai Vedam Tutor. And before we go into the class as such, today we shall know the answer of the last week's question and also the winners of, means the listeners who have sent the right answers to the question that was asked in the last week's class, which is the third chapter in the Taittiriya Upanishad of the Krishna Yajurvedam. And the right answer is Bhrugavalli. And the winners are Brother Sai Krishna from Hyderabad and Brother Venkata Sundaram from Madurai. And now, it's indeed a really happy news to announce the names of these two listeners. And I hope all of you are ready to take this week's question. When was the first Atirudra Mahayagnam conducted in Prashanti Nilayam? I repeat, when was the first Atirudra Mahayagnam conducted in Prashanti Nilayam? Please do write in your answers to listener@radiosai.org. I beg your pardon, ganesh@radiosai.org. Once again, when was the first Atirudra Mahayagnam conducted in Prashanti Nilayam by Bhagwan? Please do write in your answers to ganesh@radiosai.org. And in today's class, we shall now bring to you a part one of the talk by Sri Ravi Kumar, the warden of the Vrindavan campus, Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, delivered during the Sri Satya Sai Vera Poshana workshop in Vrindavan. And the theme of his talk is Sai, verily the Veda Purusha. Please do listen to this enlightening talk. In the coming week, we shall listen to the part two of this talk by Sri Ravi Kumar. Over to Ravi Kumar.
He taught us worship. In fact, in the lunch time, we used to have a 40 minutes break. That 40 minutes, the first 10 minutes, we would go quickly, have our food and come back. And then he would teach us. That's how we learned Purushottam. We never imagined that this would have any other benefit that time. But very shortly, Swami heard that we were learning Purushottam. And so our first chance came when Swami took us to Sigehalli. Sigehalli is a village about a kilometer from here. And Swami was inaugurating a temple there. And there were so many Vedic pundits there who had come, Purohits and all that. And they were chanting Vedam. And Swami told all of them to stop and said, my boys will chant Vedam. Then we looked at each other. Did Swami really mean us? And of course we chanted Vedam. Nothing much to speak about. Honestly, it is not a great chanting. But Swami was very proud. And I remember, almost a year later, we were in Prashanti Nilayam, Swami's 50th birthday, and we were sitting and, we were working the whole day, getting ready for Swami's birthday, laying some foundation for some sheds and all that. And when we were discussing, somebody asked, hey, we are talking so much about Swami, will Swami be remembering us? And I said, yes, yes. It is reciprocal. You think of Swami, Swami thinks of you. In fact, even if we don't think of him, he is thinking of us. I had hardly said this when somebody came running and said, Swami is calling you. And so straight I went to Swami's room and Swami took one photograph and gave me and said, Ravi, you remember that Sigehalli we had gone? This is that photo when you all chanted Vedam. So you know, right at that instant I realized what a royal highway to Swami chanting Vedam is. But if we carefully analyzed, the entire thing began with Veda. The entire Saryavatara ritual began with Veda. It all started with Bharadwaja Rishi wanting to learn Veda. He was an aspirant at that point. He wanted to learn Veda. And he learned Veda, and learned Veda, and learned Veda. Time for him to go. And then he told Yama, please give me one more lifetime. So he was given an extension. And he was given two more extensions like that. And when he asked once more, he was told, look, this is a futile exercise. You cannot exhaust the Vedas. You see those three ranges of mountains? Some huge mountains, must be Himalayas or something. And then three scoops of dust from that, mud from that. What you have learned is only this much. So don't exhaust, try to exhaust the Vedas by learning them. It's not possible. But the lessons from the Vedas, the essence of the Vedas, the benefits of the Vedas you can get by doing one yajnam which I will teach you. So the yajnam which was taught, he was also advised to invite Shakti, Goddess Shakti, to come as the chief guest. And so he went there to Kailash and he stood there. Shiva and Parvati were very busy because they were having a competition of their own. Who can dance longest? That was the competition they had. And so as they were dancing, this poor Bharadwaja Rishi was standing there waiting. And Goddess Shakti looked at him and smiled. It was a smile of welcome. But he was very disappointed. And he said, okay, they are busy in their own world. Let me go back. And as he was descending from Kailash, had a paralytic stroke. He fell down. Immediately the father and mother stopped their dance and came running. And then Shiva sprinkled water on Bharadwaja and cured him. And asked him, what do you want? Bharadwaja said, I came for inviting mother to the yajnam which I want to perform. So it will be nice if both of you come. So Shiva said, yes, definitely we are coming. So both of them arrived at the Yagashala. And the yajnam went on very grand. The whole thing was concluded. After it was concluded, Shiva, as we know, he is always ready to give boons. He said, come on, what boon do you want? And Bharadwaja said, Lord, you have come here. Can there be a greater boon than this? Shiva said, no, this is not good enough. Ask for something else. But Bharadwaja stuck to this, what can I ask, Lord? The greatest thing that I can think of is your presence. Then Shiva said, no, I will be born three times in your lineage. The first time, Shiva alone will be born as Shirdi Sai. Shiva and Shakti will be born as Satya Sai. And Shakti alone will be born as Prema Sai. Three times in your lineage. Old devotees tell us that in the Chitravati sands, when Swami was talking to the devotees in the 50s, it seems, 40s and 50s, since Swami mentioned, do you know there is this cycle of yugas? Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, Satya Yuga, Kali Yuga, that cycle is there. And every time there is Treta Yuga, Rama comes. Every time there is Dwapara Yuga, Krishna comes. But this Sai Avatar is unique. It is specially given to Bharadwaja and through him to mankind. Now this doesn't come again and again. So you see the whole thing started with yajnam. And that's why Veda Poshana is so important. The importance of Vedas which got us the Lord himself on earth. I don't think we need to ask ourselves, is chanting Veda important? That itself underlines the Lord himself can be brought down to earth from whichever loka. If we actually see Swami's entire the mission, Swami said, there are four things which I have specified in my mission. He said, the first is Dharma Samsthapana. I come for Dharma Samsthapana. Dharma Kshetre, Kurukshetre, that there is that in the Bhagavad Gita, there is that Parisarana, Sadunam, Vinasai, Chakrishkatam. Dharma Samsthapana, Taya Sambhavaman, Uvek. Krishna is telling me, don't worry, this is not once, I am going to come many times, because he knows human beings very well. How much ever times you retrieve the Vedas, they are going to allow it to. The live fire will become an ash. Again, he has to blow it and rejuvenate the whole thing into a live ember. He knows that. So, Dharma Samsthapana is the first one. And then for that, Veda Poshana is very, very important. The Paramacharya of Kanchi, in many of his talks, he used to talk about the importance of chanting Veda. And I remember in one of the speeches which he gives, he says, he's actually firing point blank range. He's telling all his devotees, I don't want all the celebration which you are giving, because a birthday celebration, something they are. He said, what I want you to give me, you are not prepared to give, and that is Veda portion. And you know, he struggled throughout his life, and look at Swami, he just decided to do it, and the whole world knows. No, that is how the Lord, if he picks up anything, it becomes international the next instant. And so this Veda Poshana is very, very important. And if Veda Poshana has to happen, Vidvat Poshana is equally important. Unless you have people who chant Vedas, they are taken care of, how can you expect them to chant Vedas? If you say, on a hungry stomach you chant Vedas, how long will it last? So Vidvat Poshana is very, very important. You must foster them. You must take care of their livelihood. You must take care of their comfort, their problems, their challenges. And then it becomes possible for them to completely devote their attention to the Vedas. And therefore, Veda Poshana becomes automatic. But for Vidvat Poshana, you must first get people who are ready to chant Vedas. How do you get people ready to chant Vedas unless you have a society in which people who chant Vedas are worshipped? Looked up. You know, today it's not that, it's not like that, isn't it? You see that even the children of people who are Purohits, they all want to become IT engineers, they want to go into, they want to do engineering, they want to do medical, some technologies. They don't want to become people chanting Vedas. And that is why Swami has come in this age. He has made it fashionable to chant Vedas. Fashionable. It is so fashionable, I tell you, that somebody sent me a WhatsApp message. Children in UK are chanting Vedas. And then it's a WhatsApp message. Now you like to tell everyone, you know, my son is there in that. You see, you've seen that WhatsApp message? My son is there in that. And therefore it's fashionable to chant Vedas. And therefore if you have to create a society like that, Bhaktarakshana is important. See, faith in God is important. From that kind of a society, what God likes, that is, he likes Vedas, he likes people who chant Vedas, so that becomes automatic. Once all these three are there, Dharma Rakshana becomes automatic. I am not going to go too much into details about Vedas and that. There are technical sessions for that. I just want to tell you, narrate to you, how beautifully Swami made it so nice for us, so pleasant for us to learn Veda. Before that, one thing which struck me, you know, there was this discussion about can ladies also chant Veda? I think nobody can answer questions like Swami does. Once in a public meeting, somebody got up and asked, Swami, can ladies chant Gayatri Mantra? You know what Swami said? Swami said, Gayatri herself is a lady. I don't think anyone can give this kind of answer. And there was another foreigner who said, Swami, they say that you must chant Gayatri at dawn, at noon time, and also at dusk. So, is it wrong to chant at other times? Swami said, dawn, dusk, midday is for you, not for the sun. You see, so scientific, so beautiful, that when you ask Swami a question, your answers are all always given at that level where it can never be contested. Like some people say, it's a Palmolive principle. Palmolive ka jawab nahi, it's behind. There's no answer, you cannot question it again once the answer is given. So, learning Vedas was always very exciting with Swami. You know, when we first learned Vedas, we knew very little of it. We knew so little of it. One day Swami said, we'll have a procession. You know, summer course, procession. The procession was from Swami's mandir to where the hostel is. Not a very big, because it's a very long distance. So, we had to chant. And when we chanted Vedam, our entire knowledge of Vedam was 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Purusha Suktam Prasthanam, that's all. So, when we started chanting, the person next to me was nudging me and said, procession is not moving. You're so worried. What will happen now? The Veda stop gets over. Then Swami came to us and said, Paravandit, Paravandit, don't worry. He said, keep repeating. Because for you it is old, but as you are moving, for the audience it is new. He made it so simple. He made it, does not block it science-wise. When we learned Vedam, we got extensive chance to go to Swami. Vedam voice will always get chance to. In any procession, you have a place. Bhajan boys also get that. But you know, bhajan boys, there are other instrumentalists and so on. And Vedam boys, the number used to be a little less. And therefore we learned Vedam. I remember one very interesting incident. It was just after the Veda Purusha Satta Jnana Yajna had started. One of the years, 1977 I think, or 1978. A few of us were sitting, and Swami suddenly said, sent for us. Those days bhajans used to be at 11 o'clock. And so we were sitting in the bhajan hall. 5 minutes before that, Swami sent for us. Two of us. One was Dr. Sivashankar Sai, who is now the Dean of Sciences in Prashanthi Nilayam. The other was me. And Swami had come the previous day in my dream and said, learn Rudram. So, when Swami sent for me like this, sent for both of us, I thought this is a nice chance. I said, Swami, can I learn Rudram? Swami said, Nenne Chetanan Kada. I told you yesterday, learn Rudram. Yes, Swami. Then Swami looked at both of us and said, it was the exam had got over and the holidays were beginning. Swami said, how will you learn Rudram? So, Kamadani Lalu was sitting there doing Patseva Pashpa. You know, one great thing about this Mahatma was, you look down, keep on chanting something and pressing Swami's feet. Swami said, Kamadani, will you teach my boys Rudram? Tapaka Chuttan Swami. Definitely I will teach. Then Swami said, yes. Holidays వస్తున్నాయి. Holidays are there. So, what are the next few? You can teach them. And Swami looked at us and said, I am going to Vrindavan, you have to stay here and learn. We are not ready for that. You know, without words, communication, because Kamadani was sitting down in the room, he'll also come with you. I said, I'm committed. So, please, Swami. Yes, I do. So, he kept on begging Swami. And then Swami said, no, you, in signals, you know, One is going non-verbal communication. So, no, you have to stay here, I am going. And Swami sometimes says, I'll take the other boys and go. And what are the strength of the hostel? The strength of the hostel is 75. And Swami is telling you all stay here. Peacefully you can learn and do them. And then you can come to Vrindavan after the holidays we go. And so, prayed and finally, Swami said, wait, I will tell. So, Kamadhani, what is another name for Vedam? Swami said. He said, Swami, Shruti. Shruti is another name for Vedam. What does Shruti mean? Swami, Shruti means sound. Why is it called Shruti? All this is for us. Why is it called Shruti? Swami, Shruti is because Vedam was always taught by hearing and chanting. Only by chanting and hearing, not by looking at anything, not by looking at books, no Swami. Not by looking at the Guru, no Swami. Only by hearing. Then, is it possible to tape record it and just for children. Actually, Kamadhani was very strict, very orthodox. Just for children. And Swami says, these boys, they are staying back in their holidays because they want Swami. But I want them to learn Vedas. So, tape it and give it to them, let them learn. And that is how we learned Rudram. I remember we learned Rudram. There was a hall next to this building, which is called hall number 8. And I remember we chanted for like God knows how many hours. Within 1 week we learned Rudram. And Swami was so proud. Swami was so proud that next year when Dasara came, you know, on top there used to be that silver door. On first floor, silver door. And Swami used to come there and give discourse. And flag hoisting used to be there the day before on the first year of Dasara. So, Swami called all of us. Swami had announced that at 8 o'clock it would start. This would start. So, all of us were sitting down, and as you know, in those days, there would be tens of thousands of people, big crowd silence. Everybody is waiting for Swami to come. Suddenly, somebody comes to him and says, Vedam pillar, Vedam boys. There are about 5 of us. Remember, Ved Narayan was there, Sivashankar Sai was there, Dev Sen, Vimesha Sharma, and myself. So we ran upstairs, and Swami said, go. He showed us towards the silver door. We didn't understand what it was. Swami wanted us to chant Vedam standing there on top next to him. Unbelievable chance. But that was not what was causing tension. We were wondering what we are going to chant. So whatever we knew only little. What are we going to chant? At that moment, somebody said, Rudram. We didn't contest. We said, okay, Rudram. No time to discuss. Swami is already coming behind us. And Swami came there. The silver door was opened. Swami sat down on the simhasana there. Swami said, boys, went and stood next to Swami. And we started off Rudram in terrific speed. And then slowly we realized that we are going at too fast speed. Dangerous. No, you can't stop wherever you want. You can stop only when Swami tells. And we are going at breakneck speed. So slowly we were slowing down. And Namaste Astubhagavan Vishveshwaraj Mahadeva Yatrem Vahadeva Tripuranta. That slowly. Trikarni Kadaya Trikarni Rukhaya. And as we are chanting this, the prayer is becoming more and more intense. The speed is becoming slower, prayer is becoming more intense. Kadarpi Rukhaya Nena Kandaya Mrityun Jayaya Sarveshwaraya Sadashivaya Sriman Mahadevaya Namaha. Bas. Swami said, what a relief. What a relief it was. And then Swami was so happy. Immediately after that, Swami gave a discourse. Then Swami called us into his living room, sat around Swami. He asked somebody to bring breakfast. He served us breakfast. Then Dr. Bhagwantam, who was there, asked Swami one question. He said, "Swami, there are so many pandits who have come here, scholars, and parties who have come here, who know not just one Ganam, but who really are Ganapatis. And you chose these small boys, Swami, who are still very immature, juvenile in terms of the Vedic learning. How is it that Swami chose this?" Then Swami told him, "Look, Bhagwantam, for me, heart is very important. Heart is very important. My children chant from the heart. And that is why I made them chant. I know if I ask one of those pandits to chant, they will chant it excellently. But they will also feel that I am a scholar and therefore Swami called me. Whereas my children will remember it throughout their lives." 37 years back, and I remember that. But this sentence that Swami said, "My children will remember it throughout their lives." You know, there are various facets. Somebody was telling, Chandama Manaswajata Chakshu Suryo Ajayata, all the Swami used to make us chant, and Swami used to keep chanting with us. In Rudram, there's one sentence which came to life. You know, many of these sentences come to life when you're with Swami. You suddenly realize that the meaning of that is totally different from what you imagined. There was this exhibition in the school, there was a science exhibition. And in our higher secondary school. And these children came and told Swami, "Please come and inaugurate the exhibition." Came the exhibition from Swami. Science exhibition. "Okay, I'll come after bhajan," Swami said. So after bhajan, Swami came there. And there were a number of these elders who accompanied Swami, about 5 to 6 of them. One of them was Swami Karunyananda. Dr. Bhagwantam was there. I think Vice Chancellor Sarath also was there, I'm not sure. These people accompanying Swami. And Swami came. He asked the boys to explain, he gave me again. With so much love. The children also explained to Swami in great detail. They rehearsed it so thoroughly. And Swami said, "Chala Bhagunde, very nice, very nice," like that. And then Swami came to this boy, who had made a burglar's alarm. You put your hand and the bell rings. Swami said, "He gave me, Swami, the burglar's alarm, Swami." "Ante emi?" "Swami, this is to catch thieves." "Unna, etla?" Swami said, "Chetulto pattukuntunda, will it catch with the hand?" "No, Swami, it will alert us to catch." "Oh, etla?" Then that boy explained, he switched on the thing and he put his hand. The moment he put his hand, the bell rang. Swami said, "Oh, Ravane de Karunyananda no petu, chepetu." So Swami Karunyananda, very great person. When we are talking of this, he must have been about 100 years. He used to walk straight, and you know, in Swami's room, we are all sitting around Swami, and Swami just goes inside. We want to adjust Swami's chair and table. Before even we can even think of it, he would have already got up and adjusted. So youthful, so energetic, so full of love for Swami. So he put his hand and it rang. "Bhagwantam no petu?" So Dr. Bhagwantam put his hand, it rang. So then That boy was not satisfied. "Who wants all these people's hand?" "He wants Swami to put his hand." So he said, "Swami, you should." He said, "Oh, no." He said, "Put the hand in the ring." And this fellow said, he looked at the connections. He put his hand, it's ringing. And he again said, "Swami, please." Again Swami put his hand, it didn't ring. And again Swami said, "Give me problem. The boy is sweating now. Looking, the headmaster is there, the principal is there, teachers are there, guests are there, and the most important person for whom he had made all this, it's not working for him in his country. So then Swami said, you switch it off and switch it on. You know, most of the computers work like that, right? Switch it off, switch it on. It works. So this fellow switched off, switched it on. He put his hand in the tank. Swami looked at Kamyananda and said, he put his hand in the tank. Swami put his hand, he didn't drink. Then the boy said, he was in tears, Swami, I don't know what mistake. Swami said, Adhikarjo, Swami said, I am a different kind of thief. You didn't say that, Swami said. You didn't say that, Rukham Loh, Askaranam Pateena Mahanandi. He is the chief of thieves. He is the chief of thieves. Why? Because all the other thieves, they steal things away from you. And they wait for you to sleep. And what does this thief do? He comes and wakes you up. He says, look, look, I have kept this jewel inside your heart. He's Taskaranam Pati. He has come to give us, not to take from us. But how beautifully he does it. He does it with so much of love. And so all of us that we have learned with a simple burglar sadharam, okay, can teach you Rudram. Can learn lessons about the Rudram, about the person who is describing the Rudram.
So with this we come to an end to this week's Radio Sai Vedam Tutor, and before we close we just have a recap of the question that was asked in the beginning of the class. When was the first Atirudra Mahayajnam conducted in Prashantiralayam? Please do write in your answers to ganesh@radiosai.org. With this I take leave of you, and now you'll be listening to the live Vedam and the bhajans from the Sai Kulwant Hall. Sai Ram and happy listening.